last interview with Rebecca August on March 19th, 1973. The interview, as usual, took place in Rebecca August's room. In the beginning of the interview, she seemed much more alert and did not seem to have too much difficulty. However, as the interview progressed, it was quite clear that there was a great deal of confusion in her mind about different periods. This was especially true in attempting to get at her involvement with the home colony. She confused the later period in which she lived there in 1931 to 1934 with the earlier period prior to her marriage to Kettler, to August. Despite some of this confusion, and it is obvious when it does occur very often because I have made a clarifying point, which is on the tape, there is some interesting information here. Again, it is rather obvious that many of the details are missing. She remembers her involvement in rather large and somewhat grandiose terms, but the details of going to places and organizing seems to be lost. The tape covers her move from Chicago to Seattle, then to Alaska and back to Seattle, and goes into detail about the period in Seattle, which very briefly then covers her later years and re-involvement in the labor force in the 30s and involvement with the MLA. Especially interesting is some rather lengthy questioning and discussion about feminism and the attitudes of men in that period of time, her husband and other men as well.
Beginning with, why did you leave Chicago and make the move to Seattle?
Why? Because well, there was certain reasons, and there was more going on in Seattle. There was more activity, and the IWWs were getting active in there. And so that is why, and then my husband, my first husband, he went up there. So my brother went up there, and he said he liked Seattle. So when he came back, he was going back to Seattle, so my husband went with him. And I stayed a while, and then I heard there was so much doing going on in Seattle, so I went to Seattle. It was about 1911, I guess.
Now, did you go right to, when was it that you went to Alaska, exactly?
Oh, and then we were there, and we were in Seattle a while, and then we went to Alaska. 1911, I was in Alaska. 1911.
Now, why did you move to Alaska then?
Well, because in Alaska there were lots of there was opportunity to make a living. We didn't make much money because the strikes were on and everything. So we went up to Alaska and we opened up a restaurant, and we had the restaurant for a while. But I couldn't stand the climate; it was too damp. I think I was either April, May, and June. It was so very, very damp. Rain, cold, and damp. And then in June it got nice, but I couldn't stand it. So I went back to Seattle. And my husband, he stayed down there and for a while. And then he came back, and he saw that he couldn't do anything much in Seattle, there wasn't much work. So he went back again and went out to Fairfax.
Fairbanks.
And he opened up, I understand, the restaurant there, and I don't know what happened, and he died.
Mm-hmm. Now, when he came back to Seattle and he couldn't work again, had you decided that your relationship was pretty much over?
Well, about, mm-hmm. Yes, about. Because what it says, the reason he went back, he wanted to make us, I already had my first child, my first son was born. And we wanted to have a little money, make a little money so we could have a home for the child, and so we couldn't do anything in Seattle as much. So he says, well, I'll go up in Fairbanks, and he'll open up a restaurant there and make money, and then he'll come back. Well, he never came back.
Mm. Now, was that child planned, or was that an accident?
Okay.
That first child was planned.
Planned.
Now, were you using birth control in those days?
Yeah.
What do you remember? What you were using?
Well, contraceptive.
Yeah. He was using it.
Mm-hmm.
He was using a condom.
Yeah.
Now, was it difficult to get it then?
No. And we planned to have our first son on the 11th of November. Now he might could try it, celebrate. Well, he was born on the 6th of November. Then my second child, I was planned to have on the 1st of May, to celebrate the 1st of May, because then it was Labor Day.
Uh-huh.
But it came the 6th of May.
So they were very carefully planned.
Yeah, very well. Well, the doctors say that you can have a plan. It's always about two weeks in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, menstruation, after menstruation.
Now, what was your attitude towards the institution of marriage as such at that time? You didn't believe in marriage,
No. It was, in Washington, state of Washington, recognized common law marriage. You know that, don't you? So mostly it's common law, by common law, everything was common law. Very, very fine families and very fine children were raised that come along.
Now, you kept your own name, though, didn't you?
Well, I guess I kept my name, Beck.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Beck.
Now, how did you feel when he wasn't going to come back in terms of having to raise a son now on your own?
Well, I think I did. I knew I had children and I knew I had to work, so I did. That's why he was in this picture.
At the home colony?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what kind of work...
Where is the picture?
There it is.
Oh, yeah, nice. They were French people, very nice people. And they boarded him.
Oh, I see.
See? I used to come there every 2 weeks to see him.
Now, was that at the home colony?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you lived alone in Seattle then?
Yeah.
And he lived at the home colony?
Yeah.
Now this was after he was born?
Yes, after he was born, yes. After my husband died and I knew I had no more husband and I had to work. So I worked in the tailor shop, small shops in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go from Seattle to Tacoma by boat. To the airport, and then from Tacoma, a little steamer would go to the home colony. You see.
Now, until your husband died, before he died, was he sending you money from Alaska?
No, he wasn't sending me any money, because he wasn't making any money.
So what were you living on then before he died?
Well, I was living on what I made.
Were you taking work in at home?
No, I went down to the shop. I worked in the shops. I worked in the shop.
And what did you do with him then?
I had him saying to some people, where I was boarding.
Oh, I see.
I had him saying to some people. And they were also French people. I remember a funny thing. She wanted to get a leg of lamb once. This woman wanted to get a leg of lamb. And she went to the butcher shop. And she said, Yeah, and then these people, they're very lovely people, French. They said, well, they'll take care of it, because I was paying them, I was paying them. But he got so, when I used to go away, he said, Mommy, 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 cry and cry. I think I told you, I wrote a poem, I think. As the waves sweep against the boat, so I told his cries beat against my heart. And then he stayed there until I got married to August.
Oh, so he stayed there about 4 years?
Yeah, mm-hmm. About 4 years old.
Now, Rebecca, what kind of work were you doing in Seattle? Were you still making buttonholes or were you doing all kinds of sewing?
Oh, all kinds. I'm going to do regular work, all kinds of sewing. I can do everything in the tailoring line.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you in small shops or were there...
Small shops. One very big shops. I was in small shops.
Was there much of a needle trade industry there?
Well, there was a little, not very much, but there was a few shops here and there that I went.
And now, was there a union at all there in the needle trade?
At that time, there was they called them the garment workers union. And they were small, didn't amount to much. And then when, after we got married, so we, I don't remember, I think after that we moved back to Chicago.
When you married August, you mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now before you married August, you mentioned in something that you were in a tailor's union.
Yeah.
Now,
when I was in Seattle, that's before I married, that's what happened that in August.
Yeah, what I want to talk about now is between the time that you went to Seattle and you married, that's when you were working in the sewing shops.
Yeah.
And how big were the shops usually?
Well, the way it might have been, I worked for one man, I was the only one in town, a single tailor is what they call.
Oh, I see. Like a tailor would have his own shop and he...
Yeah, you'd make a suit for, custom suit, and I'd be working with them. Or some tailors would have take out from the stores and take out two or three coats, to make, and I would be there making them.
Oh, so very often you were just working for a single person.
Yeah.
What kind of pay did you get compared to in Chicago?
Well, I don't know. It's given about maybe $14, $15 a week, something like that. But you could buy them at that time.
Now, you always were in men's clothing, weren't you?
Yeah,
you were never in women's clothing.
No.
Now, the union, though, must have just been in a larger shop. Did you work in any larger shops then that had the union, the tailor's union?
Not in Seattle, no. When I came back to Chicago, they had the Hart Scheffner & Mark shop.
What was this tailor's union in Seattle? Remember?
They called it garment workers. The garment workers union. But then after when the amalgamated started in 1915, the amalgamated, mm-hmm. then the amalgamated took over everything.
Oh, so this was that original United Garment Workers that the amalgamated broke off from, this union in Seattle?
No, they didn't know very well. They combined.
Mm-hmm.
They combined.
Now, you mentioned that you were a delegate to the Trade Union Council in Seattle?
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me more about that? How did you become a delegate, for one thing?
Because I was active. Yes, I used to go to the council here, they used to send me, and I would bring back reports of what was going on.
Now, were you a delegate for a specific union?
From the garment workers.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think I told you one time I wanted, when they started, they had the 40-hour week for the women, and I wanted men, we should have the 40-hour week for men too. I think I told you that. And that was in Seattle. And I says, we'd work for 40 hours, and we'd go home 2 hours sooner than the men. And I couldn't stand for it. I said, why? I says, I can't stand to see that the men have to work 2 hours longer than we do. And so we went to I went to the council, and I asked them to try and organize that the men should also get 40-hour week. They says, oh no, that won't have to come from the law. Just as it can, as the 40-hour law can for the women can the law. I says, no, I says, we can ask for it, we can demand it. You don't get anything without asking for it. So, I went down to the IWWJ, it was very active then, and I asked them, they said, sure, they'll help me, they'll come down, and then we started striking all over every shop, striking for the men,
mm-hmm.
for the 40-hour week.
Now, was this just in tailor shops, or was it all kinds of shops?
No, tailor shops. Mm-hmm. We were just concerned with tailor shops.
Now, how did you become a delegate to the union exactly, to the council?
Well, because I was active in the union. Because I was active, I used to talk, I had a big mouth. That's how I became a delegate.
How many delegates were there from your union?
Well, I was the only one.
You were the only one?
Yeah.
Were there other women delegates on the Labor Council? Do you remember?
Oh, there was a lot of women here too, a lot of women on the council, you know, working, but they were not in the tailoring trade.
Uh-huh. What were the other women on the council working at?
Working for different for equal rights, so working for better shorter hours and better longer pay.
What unions were these other women in usually?
Well, like Miriam DeFord, I think she was working for women's rights or something, I don't remember now.
Oh, so the Labor Council wasn't just unions?
No, it wasn't just unions. The Labor Council was for all unions.
Mm-hmm.
Not only unions, the trade union, all unions, or all anything like that.
So sitting on the council from other unions, there were other women? From other unions?
Yeah, there were other women, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, was
the council from the
you on the Labor Council, or they were not on the council?
No, I landed on the council. They were independent.
So when you became involved with the IWW, did you stay on the Labor Council, though?
Well, no, they didn't like to have me, but when I got involved with IWW, I was out.
You were out of the Labor Council?
Yeah.
Now, the council used to meet at that Labor Temple, is that it?
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. I used to go there. I was still there, delegate. And how many times I tried to use to organize the common.
Now, that was for the Labor Council itself, not for the IWW?
No, the Labor Council, yes. Went down from the union, they were talking about organizing the common, they had the trolleys in the common, trolley car. And they said, well, we have to have somebody to go up and pick it. And I said, I'll go up. And I went down and I went, got on the car and pulled out a trolley. So, William C. Foster was there at the time. He saw it. And he says, every time you see one of these trolley cars, they think of me, how I got on the car and pulled out a trolley.
Now, did you, were you trying to organize other women ever, or was
yes, always trying to organize women, always.
Now, what industries were they in?
Well, it didn't matter what industries, as long as they should be organized, it would come. The McCammon's the same in Jewish, I mentioned, become one of the people, not just to say, oh, I think I told you that I went to one woman from the working circle. I tried to organize some of the women from the working circle. So I said to one woman that came there, wife of the husband, I got her. The husband would come to meetings. I was practically the only woman at the meeting.
Of the workman's circle?
Yeah. And I said, where are all the women? So I went to one woman, I said, why don't you try and come on some meeting and find out something, or not stay in the kitchen. She says, I don't always stay in the kitchen. Sometimes I sit in the living room.
Did you find in Seattle that the women were not as independent and as involved as they were in Chicago?
No, they weren't. The women didn't seem to be involved at all. I mean, in general, there were so many women, but in general, the women. And that's why we tried to organize a ladies' branch of the working circle. So the women should get involved and know what's doing, and that it's a strike. They should encourage the men to go out and strike, and so on and so forth. And of course, a few women came to the meetings and so on. And then that was always my aim, to try and organize the people to get interested in what's going on in the world, not to sit home in the kitchen.
Did you feel that there were fewer working women in Seattle? Was that the problem, do you think?
There were fewer, yeah. In fact, in one shop, I tried to organize the shop, and the The woman told me, what's my business? Why shouldn't I leave him alone? Why should I want to look at the shop for? And she went and told the boss, and I got fired.
This was in a tailor shop?
Mm-hmm.
And she was working in the same shop? So the women seemed to be harder to organize than in Seattle.
They didn't care. Well, whatever they got, they were satisfied with. That's all.
Well, were they immigrants? The women in Seattle?
Yeah, most of them were immigrants, yes. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't seem to be as radical as the immigrants in Chicago.
No.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that was?
Well, in Chicago, of course, we had Jane Addams, and we had all these branches that we could go to and so on. More dreams.
Well, do you think that there were fewer industries for women to work in Seattle than there were in Chicago?
No, that's in Chicago. It's a big tailor industry. So they stayed there.
Now, what you mentioned before, that while you were picketing with the IWW for the 40-hour week, you were arrested.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that arrest? Do you remember anything about that?
I told you about how I was when I was arrested.
Is this with the one where the woman hit you with the purse?
Yeah.
Is that the arrest you mean?
No, that was another one.
Oh, this is about the deportation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure which arrest was.
That's when that arrest was, they cut my hair. My head is cut open with me, and they had to put stitches in. Took me to the county jail, you know, and I stayed overnight. And the next morning, the case came up, and it was a jury case. And some of the jurors said, why should the young woman interfere with that, you know? They were in favor that I get in prison. And there was one man there who says, How could she? They accused me of striking that woman on the head with a purse. He says, how could that woman strike her on the purse when she had the head cut off by the woman? So they let me go.
Well, so this was in Seattle, not Chicago.
Seattle, no.
Oh, I thought that was Chicago.
Okay. No, it was in Seattle.
Now, was this in trying to organize a tailor shop, or was this in the fight for the 40-hour week?
No, this was trying to organize a tailor shop.
Oh, okay. Now, so you worked with the Labor Council and tried to organize the streetcar workers for the Labor Council, and then you kind of dropped out of that and got more involved with the IWW?
I don't know.
Why did you make the shift?
The IWW were more active. These are more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying the Labor Council says we have to wait for the law to give us either. Not to strike for it, but the law will give it to us. I says, no, we have to strike for it. So the IWW, when I went to the IWW, they came and said, you're willing to help me.
Now, had you gone to the IWW hall for their socials before this, or you just went and said, I want to do this?
No, I used to go there sometimes. I asked on the phone, I asked the man, I asked if they can do that, and everyone said, if you're willing to. And they gave me a committee and went down the street.
I see. And what would you do exactly?
What did I do?
Yeah, you would go picket a place or what?
Yeah, I would go picket and tell the people, tell them to come on and get organized so we can have a 40-hour week for men and women, you see.
Now, how did the women feel about it since they already had the 40-hour week? Did they care?
Well, some didn't care, but when you talk to them, they say, well, yes, it would be nice to have them happy. It would be nice, but very few. There was only a few of those mentioned here that were in favor. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I had the, I had the 90th birthday.
What about the other women in the IWW? Were there other women involved in the IWW there in Seattle?
Oh, yes, there was a lot of women involved. Yes. All of these women that got together are involved.
Because there were the IWW didn't have unions that covered women, really, because they were mainly the lumber workers.
No, lumber workers. Mm-hmm. But still, they worked. And I went down in the lumber camps to make an election for the Massachusetts strike,
The Lawrence strike?
The Lawrence strike, my son.
So you went to the lumber camps?
We went to the lumber camps.
How did they respond to a woman coming into the camps?
Very nice, very nice.
Now, Rebecca, were you actively involved in the home colony, or was it just that your son stayed there?
No, I wasn't involved either. Nothing could be involved in. I wasn't a member there. I didn't belong. I didn't have any, I didn't own any property there either.
Oh.
No.
Now, at this time, were you still an anarchist at this time when you were involved with the IWW?
Yeah.
Now, I noticed in the book you indicated that you helped Jay Fox with one of the papers in the home colony.
Yes, he did.
Now, was that in the colony or in Seattle?
In the colony. Yes, we added the paper and then take it out in Seattle and distribute it, as people come and read on it. And I was the proofreader.
And where did you do that, in Seattle? Or you went to the colony?
In the home. I lived in the home. I lived in the home for a while.
When was that you lived there? Before you married August?
Oh, yes, before I married August.
For about how long did you live there?
Oh, I lived there about 2 years or more.
In the home colony?
Yeah, in Jay Fox's house, you see. And, let's see, did I have a picture of my friend? I can't see that.
Because you told me?
Yeah, oh yes. I lived there before, long before. But August, was his wife, and I left my husband and died, and we were left alone. My son Lawrence was about 2 and a half or 3 years old, I had a picture of him still there. I was standing there holding him, and we had a picnic, and then after he came over to me and he says, wouldn't I marry him? I said, I wouldn't marry anybody. I said, why not? I want to give my child a right big enough. I want to give him an education and I want to work for him. He says, well, he says, that's what I'm in favor of. I will do that. Well, I said, well, the only way to my heart would be through my son. And he was nice to him, good to him. And
just involved in the trade union movement?
No.
No,
he wasn't.
What did he do?
Well, he was a junk peddler. He used to go out peddling junk and write at the same time. He was a writer. He used to write for the Jewish Forums.
Mm-hmm. So he was a socialist, in other words?
Yeah, he was a socialist, yeah.
Now, and was that the first time you met him? Was that this picnic?
Oh, no.
Or you knew him for a while?
I knew him for a long time. I knew him when he was with his first wife.
Oh.
Yeah, and when I was with my first husband, we knew each other a long time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Now, it was before you married him, though, that you lived in the home colony.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you work on sewing in the colony, or did you farm,
no,
or what?
Oh, well, in the colony I had a little... There.
Now, were you living with him and his family?
No. I never was alone. But there was another picture, I don't know, I had, went into a little place on the beach, a small one room, and I had my, that's after.
That was later, I think.
Later,
yes. Uh-huh. While you were living in the home colony, Rebecca, how did you support yourself?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I thought I had another place. There was a little hut like on the beach, a one room, and I stayed there. We stayed in that room, and on the side was a shed. We had wood there, Lawrence was a really big boy, and they used to go out, catch fish, dig clams, and eat that. And I had to sign on sewing shop, and the people would come in and I'd throw on a button or two and they give me 10 cents or so. I made even 10 cents and 15 cents. All I needed was to buy flour to make bread. I used to bake my own bread. Because, you know, it's a country and everybody had everything, grew everything. The carrots and the vegetables and cherries and all that. The neighbors gave me. And one neighbor says, I have a big cherry tree, so go up on the tree and pick all the cherries you want. I pick cherries and I can them. We go out in the, when the time goes up, and go out and pick clams and I can clams and we had them. And the children would go out and cut down some wood in the woods and had the wood to burn.
That's now this was in the 30s though, this was after you left August.
Yes, after I left August.
Well, before you married August, did you live there then too?
No, before I, yeah.
You would just go visit?
I had friends there, I get to visit.
Uh-huh. I see. Okay. Now, so when you worked with Fox though, it was before you met August that you worked with Fox.
Yes.
Rebecca, you once mentioned something about being involved in something with birth control while you were in Seattle.
Oh, yeah,
what was that?
Margaret Sanger. Yeah, I was involved in that. I was interested in everything that was something that was against the government.
Now, what was it? Was it a birth control clinic or what? Do you remember the details of that?
No, Margaret Sanger, I think it's in there. I just read about her the other day. She talked against birth control. And she said the people, women have a right to control birth. They have a right. She was not in favor of abortions, but she was in favor of birth control. And she gave out pamphlets, but she didn't dare mail them. Somebody asked me, somebody that spy, asked me to mail them some of the pamphlets, and I said, no, I'm not mailing them. So we then, that's when we had big meetings in Seattle, one big meeting with Margaret Sanger about birth control. And so I was active in that.
Now, was there a clinic that you were active in, or was it just in talking and giving out pamphlets?
Giving out pamphlets and connected with Margaret Sanger. Uh-huh. She told me what to do, what not to do, and then there's a Nina Morris, Nina Morrow.
Mm-hmm.
I was acting with her too. So.
Now, what was she doing?
Well, she used to lecture on womanhood and all that.
Oh. Now, at this time, you would call yourself a feminist?
Oh, yeah.
What did you mean by that in those days?
What I meant is that the women should have the same rights as men. That's what I fought for, because I thought, we are human beings. Why should we treat my own husband look down upon me? She said, oh, what do you know? If I say something to him about reading a book or doing this or that, what do you know? What do you know? What do you know? You know, I don't care about this, I don't care about that. You see, I was probably a born feminist. And every man, whenever there was a type of feminism, I fought for it.
Now, were you involved in any of the suffrage fights in Seattle, or just with labor unions?
Well, involved with the Haymarket Riot, I was involved with Debs, Eugene V. Debs, when they had, and then Haywood, when he went to Russia and fought for them, mm-hmm. And all that. Oh, I can't remember all of them.
Now you married August in 1916. That's when you remarried.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were you in Seattle that whole time up until you married him, or
yeah.
Had you gone back to Chicago at all?
No, I'm in Seattle.
So you weren't in Chicago for the beginning of the Amalgamated. You weren't there.
No, I wasn't there. But I was there organize and help him. Uh-huh. But when in 1915, when it was organized, I wasn't there, but I came in 1916 after I got married. We went to Chicago.
Oh, and did you go to live there for a while? Was that
Oh, I lived in Chicago.
How long did you live there then, after that?
In Chicago? Uh-huh. For a while. I don't know. 2 or 3 years, I guess.
And that was 1916 that you went back. Mm-hmm. Why did you go back? Do you remember?
Well, my family was there, and my husband had his family there, and so I went back and all my friends and all that.
And you started, you went to work in some of the big shops again,
Yes, I worked in the big shops.
And the Amalgamated, so when you got back, the Amalgamated had just gotten going.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, how were you involved with the Amalgamated then when you got back? What did you do?
Oh, I was involved. They knew me. They knew me when I was striking. They knew me. The head man.
To Chicago then, and you were involved in the Amalgamated. Were you a chair lady in the shop or anything, or were you a delegate?
No.
You didn't hold any office?
No, I never held an office. I was chair lady. I was chair lady out here. But there wasn't, you know, because I was in committees and joint committees and this committee and that committee. Remember, because I had a big mouth. I spoke. And so I was elected here, elected there, go there, go here, and so on. And that's it. And when I came, that is why that man, he died.
Mm-hmm. So while you were in Chicago, did you work full time then when you went back to Chicago for those 2 or 3 years?
Well, I'm not full time on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on relief. They had the relief then. In 1931, I think, 30.
No, we're talking about 1916 still.
Well, at that time, my husband was a junk peddler. Mm-hmm. He was doing very well, making a nice living, and also writing for the papers and one thing or another. And soon, with all that, after I had my youngest son, I'd go off to the women to try to organize them. One woman I went up to, my husband was quite active in the working circle. And I never saw his wife. I says, why don't your wife come? What does a woman know? I went to that woman with a baby in my arms on the second floor. She says, you come with a baby in your arms up in the second floor to talk to me? I said, because I want women to be human beings like men, have the same rights and talk and demand things and all that, you know. And I talked to her, and she kind of agreed with me. Well, 5 years later, we came to Seattle to visit. That woman, they gave her a dinner, luncheon, something, honor luncheon. And I happened to come in there. And then she turned around and she says, this luncheon belongs to Mrs. August, not to me, because she is the one that organized me. She was the one that talked to me. She was the one that awoke me. And you see, so I feel that I had done something, whether good or bad, but I wanted to awaken the women to their rights.
Now, Rebecca, then you went back to Seattle from Chicago right before the general strike in Seattle, was that it? You were in Seattle for the general strike.
Oh yes, I was there. That's why I was there. That's why he says, had he been there, what's the name, O'Connor?
Mm-hmm.
Had he been there when he was taking the resource, I would have been in every page.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did you go back? Right before the general strike?
When did I go back?
From Chicago to Seattle.
That was in 1921, I think.
Well, now you were in Seattle for the general strike, right?
Yeah.
And now
I was in Seattle, England, during the day.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh yeah, well, my husband was in there too. That's right. Mm-hmm. My husband was involved.
Now, what did you? You said that you were involved in the food cooperatives that were organized.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What did you do exactly?
It's marked off here because I know it was in 1919.
Now, what did you do during the general strike? Do you remember?
What did I do? Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't doing anything. I was asking. I was married. I didn't do anything, but I worked. I worked with my husband. I worked in the union. I went to the lumber camps. I did everything. And in the 1919, when the strike started, I walked down. My husband and I walked down to the. We had a cooperative. We started the cooperative.
A food cooperative. Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. And that was the only place. And they served to members, nobody else. And we walked down Yesler Way. Was you ever in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
When you know Yesler Way goes on mm-hmm. first. And we walked down, I was just about ready to have a baby, to the cooperative. And I helped a little what I could. And that's it.
Now, what did you do in the cooperative exactly? You cooked meals for the people or you just sold food to them?
Well, my husband was out searching to see that they claimed that the cooperatives are non-Jewish. You know, they some of the
Finns and Swedes.
So we found out, my husband found out how the cattle are killed and which part is Jewish and which part. They kill a cow, kill a cattle. The top part is Jewish. The lower part is the same from the same cow.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things we had to find out. And then there was a fellow by the name of Green. He was a spy. He came and he says that we ought to do this and we ought to do that and we ought to do that. And no, we don't. Anyway, we allow the electricity for the hospitals. We allowed emergencies, but no cars running, and no factories were open.
Now, so during the general strike, most of your energy was with this cooperative.
With the cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you actually make the meals to feed people,
no.
or you gave them
no,
food?
No. The cooperative had the regular meals, you know, the regular food.
Mm-hmm.
We got the food, the kosher way, the real way. We went to the farms and we got the food and we got the body there, and this was the place. The other place had to be closed.
Now, did you give it away or was it sold?
It was sold.
It was sold. But
only to members that belonged mm-hmm. to the cooperative.
And they were always union members.
Mostly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it was right after the general strike that you left Seattle?
Well, that's Seattle, yeah. And all my husband went to, and it was after the revolution.
Yeah. And then he went to Russia.
I went to Russia.
And that was right after the general strike?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Now, what, he wasn't involved in the union, so was he at all?
No, he wasn't. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, you were no longer anarchist, you were socialist?
Well, I was more of a unionist. At that time, a long time ago, when it was communism, socialism, all that, but then, it was really unionism.
Mm-hmm.
I was in feminism, unionism. When the mayor of Seattle came to me and said, why do you interfere with people like that? Because we want to see justice. We want to see justice for all.